You're listening to UK Health Radio. I'm Dr. Dean Mitchell, and this is The Smartest Doctor in the Room, where real medicine meets real answers. Each episode, I bring you honest conversations with some of the brightest minds in health and medicine. Let's get started. Toxic mold exposure in the home is dangerous to your health. I see patients every week in my practice who are suffering from the effects of toxic mold. And in many cases, they were living in a home where they didn't even know mold was present. That's why I recommend to patients who suspect they are ill, possibly from toxic mold exposure, to obtain a test from Immunolytics, a company that specializes in mold detection with simple mold plates for your home or office. The mold plates are put in various rooms of your home and then left open for an hour. They are then closed up and you observe them for 5 days. If the mold plates show growth, you can send them back to Immunolytics and the company will analyze them and interpret the results for you. Please see the link in the show notes to order your mold plates from Immunolytics and use the code Smartest Doc to get a 5% discount. May is Food Allergy Awareness Month, so it's perfect timing because I have a special guest to the podcast, a 12-year-old young man who is a warrior in his own right, Zaki Muniz. Zaki is a teen, and like 6 million children in this country, he has been diagnosed and is battling food allergies. But Zaki is winning. Zaki is unique in that he is on a mission, as you're going to find out, to make the world a safer place for any child with food allergies through the Zaki FAST Act, which is being taken up now in the California legislature. You know, Dr. Bernie Siegel, one of my favorite holistic doctors, a Yale surgeon and best-selling author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles, once said, "The doctor is the tourist in the foreign land of disease. The patient is the native. He knows the territory inside and out." So take a minute to think about that. I think this is so true. And in Zaki's case, who can know more than him and his mom, Priscilla, what it's like to live with dangerous food allergies? So I am like super excited to welcome Zaki and Priscilla to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you. We're excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. You know, I have a Zaki. He's a big Zaki. He's 35 now, and he's called Zach. But when he was young, he was my Zaki. So we definitely have a bond here already. All right. So I'm going to start out with Zaki. A little bit of what it's like to live with food allergies. You know, if you were to meet a friend, or again, someone introduced you to another teen that had food allergies, either a single food allergy like peanut or multiple, what would you tell them is maybe the hardest part of living with a food allergy?
I think the hardest part about living with food allergies is probably that there's not enough education, understanding, and awareness about food allergies and its severity in the public. Food allergies affects 33 million people in America.
Wow. I didn't even know that much. Wow. Okay.
And 1 in 13 kids.
Okay.
So it's a pretty big issue. I also think that there's just not a lot of understanding about food allergies and severity. And that's been my main goal, to help make change for those living with food allergies by spreading awareness and advocating.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, my son's best friend growing up had severe food allergies, multiple, to the peanut and the tree nuts. And I remember, it's really funny because his parents used to love when he did a sleepover at our house, because I'm a doctor, an allergist, so they felt comfortable because he used to come with his fanny pack, with his epinephrine. And he was lucky. He was a very good athlete and popular in school, but I was just curious, too, that I think for a while until recently, probably I would think one of the most difficult things is like being different. You know, was that something that you would try to relate to someone like it's OK that we have this issue, but doesn't make you any less of another teenager, et cetera? Is that something that even in the beginning that you and your mom had to kind of, struggle with, like you go into school, they have to do special precautions. You know, I also remember this was a time before your time, because I've been practicing 33 years. One of my first patients was a little 3-year-old boy that had peanut allergy. And I felt so bad because this is back in the early 1990s. And when he went to school, like, for example, they weren't really set up for all of this. And when he used to have lunch, they were so afraid that he would have, you know, by accident get a peanut. He used to eat in the library by himself, you know, which was really sad. And I know things have come a long way. So have things changed a lot? Are there a lot more accommodations in, like, your school? And if you know, sports or whatever, that it's a little bit easier now that you don't feel so alone?
I will say that we have gone a long way, but I think there's a lot more to be done.
I agree.
My ultimate goal is to be a part of helping to make a cure. That's, I think, would be amazing. But until then, food allergy awareness and advocacy really create a safer and more inclusive environment. I think we have definitely gone a long way from new epinephrine to legislation to just a more common understanding about food allergies.
Mm.
But in the long run, there's still more to be done.
Yeah. You're a good politician. I would vote for you. I'm keeping your name in my file because I think we could definitely use more honest politicians. Priscilla, I'll ask you this, and Zaki can chime in also. Do you remember the first time you became aware that he had a food allergy? I mean, how old was he? And like, what happened in that situation?
Yeah. So I don't know if I knew he had a food allergy, but I knew there was something in association with food. And that probably became more apparent around 6 months of his life.
Oh, that early. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think prior to that, now hindsight, you look and you're like, okay, that's what it was. But, you know, he was fussy. They thought it was colic, but it wasn't.
Was he colicky? He was complaining about the formula.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And we didn't know what it was, but it wasn't really until 6 months that I was actually in a car with my mother and she gave him banana.
Banana.
Touched his face. And today he luckily doesn't, it's not his allergy, but touched his face. And I instantly saw him get hives. And I finally, that was like the moment I was like, oh, there's some kind of association between food and why he's acting the way he is. So that was the first part of when I probably identified that. And shortly after, we tested him and then we verified it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hi everyone. I know you may already know from listening to my podcast that I specialize in treating patients with toxic mold exposure. It's become a serious problem for many years as we deal with the hurricanes and floods throughout the country. You know, even simple bathroom water leaks
from a toilet in your home over time can contribute to mold buildup. I can help patients that suffer from the symptoms of toxic mold, but I also rely on the patients getting their current residence inspected so they are not continually being exposed. My go-to person for mold exposure is Joe Reese. Joe is a certified mold inspector with decades of experience. He is super thorough and gives you a straightforward assessment and tells you whether it's safe to live in your home or if there is mold. I should know, I used Joe when I moved to my new home 4 years ago. Fortunately, when I moved in, I smelled an unusual odor in my basement and I immediately called Joe. He came over with his instruments and he found the problem. Afterwards, I had remediation and the problem was solved. Joe does inspections all throughout the country. He welcomes calls to his cell phone at 908-451-4592. You can also reach him by email at jprconsultants7929@gmail.com. Remember, mold in your home is not a good thing, but thankfully it's a problem that can be fixed.
Yeah, I'm curious because, you know, what's interesting, the whole dynamic of how especially children and even young infants are evaluated. I mean, because their primary doctor is their pediatrician. Sometimes they are then referred to an allergist. I'm just curious, how did your pediatrician handle it? Did they essentially try to, you know, just give some precautions? Did they refer Zaki to an allergist at a young age? I mean, I'm curious, could you take me through how that went?
So there has been, kind of going back to your initial question, there's been a lot of improvement. I've talked to food allergy parents that their children are 20.
They're the smartest moms and dads I've ever met. Yeah.
And they definitely paved a road that wasn't made before for us, the next generation. And then hopefully our generation will do the same. But I feel as though when Zaki was officially diagnosed, there still wasn't a lot of infrastructure in place. And the approach was more of a topical external approach as opposed to the early introduction, all the different things that are being presented. So there was a little bit of a journey traveled in regards to that. And I feel like now there is a lot more information that would have been helpful back when. But
for example, like what did your pediatrician do? Because I know sometimes I understand a lot of them are overwhelmed. They're like, whoa, I don't know what to do with this. So did they immediately refer him to an allergist, you know, to get tested? They just said avoid those foods, do the best you can, you know, give him an EpiPen. Is that what happened?
Well, I don't even think we got prescribed an EpiPen until much later. The initial process was more of like external because he had a lot of eczema. So it was steroid use and things of that nature.
So he presented a lot with the skin manifestations. Okay.
Exactly.
So what was the first time, if this has happened, that he had to use an EpiPen? Do you remember that?
Well, for me, the first time that I had my first epinephrine auto-injector was in first grade. I was around 6 years old when this happened. And it all started off like a relatively normal day. But when I went to get lunch from the cafeteria, they apparently had a switch of manufacturers and some confusion or another, I'm not 100% sure, I got served my allergen.
What was that? Do you remember or you don't know?
It was sesame seeds. I remember.
Like one of the top 10 common ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I got served my allergen. And when I was eating it, something in my body didn't feel right. There's like an alarm inside of me. I wasn't having a reaction. I didn't know about it at the time, but I was having an allergic reaction.
Mm.
So I went to a nurse and then I started throwing up, having trouble breathing. But the scariest thing I remember was the auto injector. After all the chaos ensued, the scariest thing for my 6-year-old self was having to get a giant needle in your thigh. Because back then, I was afraid of needles. Even now, I'm afraid of needles.
I'm still not thrilled about them, but it's so nice that you're so honest about it because it is something, you know, we're going to get to after, which is nice. There's been an advance in all that because it is an obstacle for a lot of kids and even parents to have to give that. Did you have to give it to yourself or did the nurse give it to you, the EpiPen?
Thankfully, the nurse was on standby and calmed me down enough to give me the EpiPen. then I was.
Yeah, she gave it to you.
Yes.
Okay, good. I mean, good. It's hard to give yourself a needle. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard enough to get a needle, let alone give yourself a needle. Okay. So she gave you the shot, and then did you have to go to the hospital after that? Yes.
Yes. After that, we rushed to the ER, and they said that I had an anaphylactic reaction.
Mm, okay.
That was the day that I really understood how severe food allergies are, and that ultimately led me down a rabbit hole of change making. Mm.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I think what you're describing is so interesting because, again, I do hear that story over and over again. And, you know, because one of the things I was really taught by one of my professors was that what's fascinating about allergies is a lot of times you're never allergic to something the first time you're exposed. It's due to repeated exposure. So you can be eating a food that you thought was okay, and all of a sudden now it's not okay. You know, exposures are strange too. Again, that, you know, sometimes, believe it or not, you know, we think that one of the big causes of food allergies is in children that are maybe a little bit more prone to have eczema and high, what we call IgE, and they're actually getting the exposure through topical. You know, there's so many shampoos and products now, they're making fancier and putting in fruits and tree things and nuts, you know, and, you know, this might be the way that kids are getting sensitized. We're not sure yet, but yeah, so it's, you know, it does throw people off. Like all of a sudden, you know, it's something I ate before and now I, you know, I'm having reactions. And can I ask you too, I know this is a little bit of a personal tough question, but did you start to get a little, and Priscilla, how you felt also a little bit fearful, like going out to eat? Did you mainly eat at home?
I think there's definitely a lot of anxiety, especially dealing with food allergies. The fear of, am I going to have an allergic reaction? What am I going to do? Is it safe? Those questions usually rush into my head if I ever eat out.
And so you're just very careful when you go out.
We have to be very careful, but we'll also try new places because at the end of the day, I want to enjoy some delicious food too. So as long as we're cautious.
You are remarkable.
Thank you.
You are remarkable. Okay. Let's talk about,
just to add on that, I think, you know, there's always that fear and it's been really great because I think Zachy, like he said, he's willing to try new things and, but even trying new things or trying things that you've tried before, it's always in the back of your mind and it's for him. It's in the back of his mind, but as a mother, it's always in the back.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Priscilla, because obviously I've met so many parents of children with food allergies. And even as they get older, I mean, it's one thing when they're very young, you have more control. And I see the biggest, you know, anxiety among parents, which is totally understandable, is as their child becomes a teenager, you know, and goes off to college and, you know, other experiences, and you can't control the situation. So this is also, again, a personal question. How do you personally deal with it? You just, you know,
yeah, I mean, I think the approach has evolved over time. You know, I am so fortunate because I believe that some of the work that I put into Zachy and giving him a voice has really, you know, is starting to evolve and pay off. And he's his best advocate. And that's all you can do as a parent is
give
your children the tools to be able to advocate for themselves. Because exactly that, you're not going to have them in the bubble all the time and they're going to go on and you as a parent want them to go on and evolve. So that's been the thing that I just kind of hold on to in regards to what tools I can give him in order to go out into the world.
If you've been following the podcast, you may know I practice holistic functional medicine and immunology. In fact, at Mitchell Medical Group, we've been treating chronic fatigue patients for 3 decades. It's critical in this work to have a trusted pharmacy that can compound medications for our sensitive patients' needs. ITC Pharmacy has been our go-to pharmacy the entire time. They can make medications ranging from thyroid hormones to dye-free medications for all of our highly sensitive, even allergic patients. If you or your holistic doctor are looking for these very specific patient medications, you can contact ITC at 888-349-5453. They have licenses throughout the country and can have medications delivered right to your doorsteps. My patients have been so pleased with their service. And you will be too.
Yeah, well, you've done an amazing job too. I mean, there's no question about it. And you bring up a really key point that why it's so important, I think, for parents to make sure the self-esteem of their child going through this stays strong. Because, you know, later on, I mean, I can tell it's not going to be a problem for Zachy, but, you know, all teens can get put in situations that, you know, there's a lot of peer pressure, you know, or you get into situations where you may not have as, you know, much control as you would like. And you have to be very mature, as your son is clearly, and sometimes make difficult choices, you know. So, yeah, it's really kudos to both of you. It's amazing. I want to ask you now, I'll be honest with you, because I think about this a lot. Like, if Zachy was my patient in New York, and I'd be honored to have him as my patient, I would offer him, which I'm doing to a lot of the parents and the children now, what is out there in preventive treatment. So, again, you can have a better quality of life. I'm sure you're probably familiar with what's called oral immunotherapy, OIT. There's also sublingual immunotherapy. That's what I do, and I'll explain that a little bit more because I think it's very exciting, but it has a different objective than OIT, I believe. And of course, there's now the new FDA-approved Xolair, which is pretty exciting. So I was just curious, since I'm not Zachy's doctor, has this been looked into? Have you guys considered any of these options for him?
Yeah, we actually have. So we've looked into OIT slip therapy, and I completely agree. I think that there are two different avenues and they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, we'll explain that to the listeners, but yes.
And,
yeah. So
And I've seen effectiveness from other parents. So it is something that we are considering, and especially now that Xolair
very exciting.
Being approved. That's really exciting because if you don't go through the OIT, then there's the option maybe for the Xolair, and that I think is really kind of great for the teen and up population.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something interesting because I kept giving this a lot of thought. Again, so if Zachy was my patient, you know, now, especially at this age, what I would and he's got multiple food allergies, what I would probably offer him, again, if the parents agreed, it's a little involved on my part, but it's really not hard for Zachy or you. I would probably start him on a series of Xolair injections to try to build up his threshold. And then I would treat him with the sublingual allergy immunotherapy, the allergy drops, which they do at home. It's different. I'm going to explain to the listeners. It's different than OIT, where each, you know, he does at home these drops, which are much safer because it's much gentler. But the ultimate goal wouldn't be, for example, for Zachy, if he's allergic to peanut, to have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It would be so that if Zachy went out with friends and, you know, by accident, there was a peanut in a cookie or in a you know, a nut in a salad, he wouldn't have a dangerous reaction. It would be minimized or hopefully none at all. So that would, you know, and ultimately we'd be able to pull him off the Xolair and just use the drops for a while to get, because there's a lot of literature on this now, from especially Dr. Edwin Kim, who's now at North Carolina. If Zachy was very, very young, again, the option would probably be, to me, a little bit more feasible to do the OIT, which if you're probably familiar with is where they give like the powders and stuff, but it's very intense. I mean, you have to sometimes be in the office for hours. There's sometimes a lot of reactions, but I have to say some of the practitioners I know, they're very successful that they get these very young kids actually eating the food, which they have to maintain for, I think, I don't know for how long, maybe life, but you know, that's pretty exciting option too. So I was just curious what you guys think about that.
I mean, I think personally that all those things are great options that
right.
are evolving. The OIT end of it, yes, definitely a commitment. As a parent, I look at that and that is a commitment. And
it's a big commitment, huge.
But the payoffs are big. And, you know, it's kind of a mutual thing. Like I said, it's a payoff as well as a commitment to do. The Xolair is really exciting because I think it looks in the future and looks and is one of those innovations that, you know, we are championing here that I think
it's really important.
Yeah, it's really important. So I guess I'm just, you know, I'm thrilled that this is available to parents.
Yeah.
The same.
Well, you know, what I really like about the sublingual too, just to put a little plug in for it, is that I can also do multiple allergies, you know, at the same time. That's kind of hard to do with the OIT. They typically will do, I understand, they'll do one allergen for 6 months or something, and then they switch to another one and another one, you know, and so it is a very big time commitment. But, you know, there are choices for patients now. And the other big choice, which I want to hear Zachy's opinion about, which I'm super excited about, and I am shocked that so many patients, especially even food allergy moms who are the smartest moms in the country, aren't even aware that's out yet is the Neffy nasal spray. So I want to ask Zaki if he's aware of it, if he has it, and what he thinks about it.
I think these advances in epinephrine technology are amazing. Mm. For the first time ever, we don't have to fear of having a needle injected in case of an allergic reaction.
Right.
You could just take a nasal spray.
It is.
Honestly, it's for terrific. Me, that's really exciting because there is a lot of fear of needles and there is a lot of hesitation, which I know can cause to some serious problems during anaphylactic reaction. So having a needleless form of epinephrine is exciting for me. And I think a lot of people suffering from food allergies.
Do you have one yet? Do you have the Neffy yet?
Actually, yeah, we do. It is
so cool. It's so easy to use. It's so small that I think, you know, again, you know, because one of the biggest issues I always have with food allergy patients, probably a little bit more the adults than the children, is I'll get a call from one of them. Oh, I was in a restaurant. I had a reaction. I said, well, did you use your EpiPen? Oh, no, I left it at home. You know, I think there's a subconscious thing about not carrying that around. With the Neffy, it's like, it's just like no excuse. It's just so small and easy. And you have a couple of them because they're not really crazy expensive, that there's just no reason not to have access to it. And I have a feeling, you know, the same way they have like a lot of these life support things in restaurants and everything, I think in the future, a lot of places may consider even just having them on premises, which they should, you know, because it's life-saving. You know, it's like, you know, one of the most dramatic things you can do to save a person's life. And I love that kind of stuff. You know, I like being the hero. Especially if we get called on a plane. Oh, Dr. Mitchell, there's a reaction here. You know, you can do something. Okay, now we're getting to Zaki, the politician, which you're perfectly suited for. You know, as I said, I would vote for you. You have the good looks. You have the articulate. I mean, I'm not BSing. You have this all, I could tell. So maybe you and your mom could tell us, what is the Zaki Fast Act? I had never heard of it. I'm usually up on a lot of things, but I guess maybe because I'm not in California. Please tell us about it and what you're trying to accomplish for food allergy patients.
The Zaki Fast Act is a legislation that's being currently taken as a bill right now that I've been championing, AB 228, the Zaki Fast Act. What it does, it basically ensures that in schools, different types of epinephrine can be held there. For example, for almost ever, we've only had auto-injector forms and needle forms of epinephrine. But for the first time ever, like we just talked about, we have needleless forms.
Right.
And we want to have access to those as soon as possible at our schools.
You're 100% right. You know, I've talked about this before when I did do a video on Neffy and I did a podcast on my own about it because I thought it was so important to get the word out because it's been so slow. And, you know, one of the questions I always get from patients, and I understand that, and moms, they'll say, well, is it as good as the injectable? And I said, I feel confidently to say yes. Why? A medication called Narcan, which is used in overdoses. When I used to train 20, 30 years ago, it was only available as injection. So we used to give it when a patient came into the emergency room and God forbid they had overdosed or we were worried that they overdosed. And now Narcan is available as the exact same spray as Neffy everywhere. And they encourage people to have it. So God forbid someone is in a really compromised state that almost anybody can deliver it. You know, before, I'm sure even too, when you stayed over at friends' houses and you went and your mom we sent you along with your EpiPen, I'm sure the parent had to be a little nervous. Like, let's say, suppose Zaki's, you know, not up to it and I got to give him the shot. You know, it puts a lot of pressure, you know, on families and friends where this is no brainer.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity,
click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'd like to take a moment to let my listeners know that my new book, Conquering Candida, is now available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. If you believe you suffer from Candida, this is the first book in 50 years since the original book, The Yeast Connection by Dr. William Crook, to give credence to this underdiagnosed and undertreated condition. If you also want to understand gut health and the microbiome, I also believe you will enjoy this book. I do appreciate if you read this book to rate it on Amazon and provide your comments and a review.
I guess we agree on this one.
I will say from my experience, when I'd go over for a play date or something at my friend's house, there is always an anxiety of having an allergic reaction, and the parent or the guardian that's taking care during the event, there is a little anxiety among it because food allergies, they can be dangerous, and they
yes,
are.
Yeah, they can. You can go from what's very interesting. I mean, look, back in my training, I took care of people with heart attacks and strokes in the hospital. But what's really, and this would happen in the office when I used to give allergy injections. I don't give injections for many years now. I only do sublingual drops because I think they're much safer, especially for environmental allergies. But one of the most frightening thing for me, believe me, even as a physician, was to have a healthy person like yourself or somebody else come in and they got a shot. And all of a sudden, within seconds, that person is in a life-threatening reaction. And so that can be, you have this healthy person come in and it's a major change. So you're right. I mean, I think everything you're describing is completely spot on. All right. I have to move on to go ahead, Priscilla. Did you want to say something?
I just want to expand upon the FAST Act that we're running here in California. What it does is it changes, and to be more specific, it changes the policy that says epinephrine auto-injected to epinephrine delivery system.
I like that. Nice.
And the system is, it sets it up not only for the nasal spray, but for other advances, like there's sublingual and things of that nature that are coming down the pipeline.
Right.
So the door.
I love that you brought that up. Thank you so much. Because, I also have a quote. Actually, I'm working on a book that I'm going to use that as one of the head of the chapters, is that medicine advances one funeral at a time. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that, it takes like the old guard of doctors to die off before they let the new thing come in. And it's probably the same thing, unfortunately, in law and the legislature. Things go so slow when these things could be life-saving within days and weeks. Mm-hmm. So somebody like you championed, and I'm sure you get in front of the legislature, you melt all the people's hearts and people say, we can't, get this passed for this young man and all the other kids like him. So I hear you're a little bit of a media sensation, that TikTok, you're dominating. And so tell me what you're doing on that. Because I remember I just got from, a message from one of the communications companies that you've done some things like where you've gone to restaurants like Chipotle or you've gone to Disneyland and you've documented what you did. Tell me a little bit about that.
My main goal is to make life safer for kids with food allergies. And one of the ways I do that is through advocacy and spreading awareness. And one way I spread awareness is through social media. I've been fortunate enough to been able to be posting on TikTok and Instagram and even Facebook every once in a while about living with food allergies, spreading food allergy awareness. And I've done some videos about me just going to different restaurants, how it is to order with food allergies. I'd also talk about...
And this is on your... because I want to watch them myself. So it's under Zaki Muniz? Is that...
Zaki's Universe.
Zaki's Universe. Okay, yes. Please, everybody listen to that and check that out because it sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. I think it's a great way to spread awareness about food allergies and communicate about the different things we've been doing. it's one of the main ways I've been able to speak about the other legislation that we've been able to do and even promote our new nonprofit, the Zaki Project.
Wow. I think it's amazing, too, because, again, think about it. Some child somewhere in the country who's nervous, a little bit, you know, maybe even a little depressed that they have food allergies. And they're like, I'm afraid to go to these restaurants. I'm afraid to do that. And then maybe the parents are afraid. It becomes a vicious cycle. And they watch one of your videos. They're like, look at this. Zaki's at Disneyland. He's going here or there. He goes, why can't I be like him? And so I think that's super important. And I'm going to personally check those out myself.
Awesome.
You know, all right, last question. I don't want to make you be late for school. Go ahead.
And normalizes things. And I think
what you're talking about
is true, because we've gotten the feedback from parents and from kids and parents, you know, as a mom, they say, you know, thank you, because I wouldn't think to go there. And I think it opens the door.
Yeah,
so.
No, 100%. All right. My last question for Zaki, because I don't want to be late for school. Who's going to get luckier? Do you want to possibly be like an allergy doctor or any kind of doctor or a congressman or a ball player for the Lakers? Who's getting Zaki for the future?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But I will say the medical industry is something I'm pretty interested in.
Okay. All right. I hope Harvard Medical School hears that. We have a potential superstar in the making. Okay, I was kind of actually glad about that, because I'm not really thrilled about lawyers and all that stuff. So, but you could do a lot even from the pulpit of being a doctor, leading associations, and it'll be a great story.
The work that you do is also really amazing. That inspires me too, and
that's
one of the reasons why I want to be in the medical industry, is because there's people like you helping to make change for those affected by different diseases.
It is a great job. I have to, like, you know, say quietly, you know, I go to my office every day, and especially honestly, even now, you know, I always say, you know, I've done allergy as part of my practice for 32 years, and I've helped really thousands of patients with environmental allergies. You know, people couldn't go to, you know, were allergic to cats and dogs and couldn't go near their friends' homes because they were allergic, and people with pollen allergies. But I said toward the latter part of my career, I said, the holy grail would be to help the food allergy kids. I said, that's a huge one. And now that I'm doing some of that work with the sublingual drops, I feel so good, because I'm treating, you know, probably over a dozen patients with that. And I think their quality of life and everything is improving. But to come back to you, Zaki, you and your mom, seriously, are incredible people. I've done almost 200 podcast interviews. And this has to be probably one of the most exciting ones I've done. I've done like these famous PhD, MDs, but you are the star on the rise. I love that you're getting the word out. And like I said, I don't want you to be late for school, so I'm going to let you go. And I want to thank everyone who listens to this. Please support your local societies for food allergy awareness, so every child can have a better life. Thanks for joining me here on UK Health Radio. I'm Dr. Dean Mitchell. If today's conversation was useful to you, please share it with someone who could benefit. You can find every episode of The Smartest Doctor in the Room wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, stay well.